he will be able to attain to my eternal abode. So the ultimate purpose for Lord Krishna's appearance is not just to establish some mundane order in this world, but the ultimate purpose is to attract the souls back to the Lord. So in the Anand Vrindavan Champu, it is written by Kavi Karanapur, there are 5 reasons described for Lord Krishna's appearance. 3 internal reasons and 2 external reasons. Or rather 3 external reasons and 2 internal reasons. So, Srimad Bhagavatam describes how Bhumi Devi was afflicted, was burdened by demoniac rulers. So, Kunti Maharani also in her prayers, 1.8.34 mentions that Bharavataranayanye Bhuo Nabhivodhav Siddhantya Bhurigharena Jatoyatma Bhuartha. He writes that when the earth was afflicted by an intolerable burden, at that time you appeared to relieve her burden. Now, what is this burden? If you see, there are huge mountains on the earth. And these mountains are millions of tons in weight. But that is not what burdens the earth. The burden that is referred to over here is not a physical burden. You know, when a mother carries a child, the child may be a huge burden, but because the mother loves the child, she doesn't feel any burden. In fact, she feels joy. But if the same mother is told to carry a 10 kg weight, she says, do you think I am a coolie? You get a coolie if you want to carry this weight. So why? Because there is love. So for Mother Earth, the mountains, the trees, all the flora and fauna are her own outgrowth. They are like her own progeny. So even mountains have consciousness, in the sense that we know there is Govardhan and other mountains. There are souls in them which are associated with those. So that is not the burden that is being referred to over here. The burden is when somebody is disrupting the order and the law of the earth, that creates a burden. It's like there are 100 students in a class, if all of them 100 are obedient, it's not a big burden. But if there are only 5 students and one of them is a big irritation, it's a burden. So the demons burden the earth because they prevent her from serving the Lord. She wants to create an environment by which she can serve the Lord and those who are residing on her can serve the Lord. So Bharavataranayanye. So the Lord appeared to decrease the burden of the earth. So that is the first external reason. You know that Mother Earth personified as a cow along with the devatas and Brahma went to Kshir Sagar and they were told that the Lord will appear soon to relieve your burden. And it is also described that the Lord wanted to attract the self-satisfied sages. That means those who were performing impersonal meditation and they were self-satisfied. The Lord was thinking, oh, what is this? These people are performing so much austerity. But after it all, they will just go to Brahman and fall back. Therefore, let me reveal my supremely attractive pastimes by which they will become attracted to me. Atma Ramashchamanayo Nirgantha Pyurukhame Kurvanti Ahitukim Bhaktin Ittham Bhuta Gunohari. So, out of his special compassion for the impersonalists, the impersonalists are detached from the Lord, but the Lord is not detached from the impersonalists. So although the Lord says, Yathavam Prapadyante, you know, that is not a mechanical relationship. The Lord's love for us is much, much greater than our love for Him. But the magnitude of that love, although it is much greater than our love for Him, is still reciprocal with our quantity. If we take one step, the Lord will take 1,000 steps. If we take two, the Lord will take 2,000 steps. The impersonalists have taken some step towards the Lord, in the sense that they have become detached from matter. So the Lord feels compassionate even on them. So to attract the self-satisfied sages. And thirdly, to perform wonderful pastimes which would give the devotees sustenance and which would enable them to attract the conditioned souls. So the devotees could discuss these pastimes and relish these pastimes for the rest of eternity. And as I quoted the Bhagavad Gita verse 4.9, that's what the Lord ultimately wants. That by hearing this pastime, the falling in love with Him, the conditioned souls return back to Him. And the devotees rejoice while they are even in the material world. Kunti Maharani gives a list of purposes for which the Lord appears. And there also she mentions one of them as Bhara Avataranayani. But the last purpose she mentions, 1.8.35, the conclusive purpose, is Bhavesmin Klishyamana Nam Avidya Kama Karmabhi Shravan Smaranadhani Karishyaniti Kechana Bhavesmin Klishyamana Nam. Klishya is related with the word Klesha. Klesha means misery. Klishyamana Nam Bhava Asmin. In this material world, everybody is suffering from Klesha. And what is the cause of Klesha? The next line of this verse, Prabhupada called it in the conversation Life Comes From Life as minimum words, maximum wisdom. The entire of material existence is summarized in three words by Kunti Maharani. Avidya, Kama, Karmabhi. The first characteristic of this material world is Avidya, Tamasoma, Jyotirgama, as the Upanishads say. That we are in darkness, let us now go towards light. So Avidya, ignorance. What is it that I should do? Everybody knows that I want to look for happiness in life. But how do I find that happiness? Avidya. Because of avidya, we don't know the right way to find happiness. So therefore, we choose the wrong way. That is kama, material lust. Avidya, kama. And because of that kama, there is karma. There is a karmic bondage. And because of that, there is klesha, as described in the previous line. So avidya, kama, karma, bhi. And what is the way out? Because no matter how much the conditioned soul struggles in this material world to try to become happy, as long as there is foundational avidya, all his karma is only going to lead to klesha. So therefore, shravan smaran arhani karishyan iti kechana. The only way the conditioned soul can be liberated is by shravana. If he gets the opportunity to hear about the Lord and his pastimes, and then the shravan is the first step. That is what others can help him to do. But after that, he has to take the next step himself. What is that? He has to do smarana. So when there is shravan and smarana, then there will be liberation from this material existence. So this is the third purpose which Ananda Champu mentions. That to perform pastimes and attract the conditioned souls back to the Supreme Lord. And to give devotees sustenance while they are in the material world. Now the two internal purposes for Lord Chaitanya, for Lord Krishna's appearance, are at the same time that Mother Earth appealed to the Lord, that same time coincided with two desires of the Lord. The Lord wanted to fulfill the desire of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Now, Chakravarti Pad explains that Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj are eternal associates in the spiritual world. At the same time, there may be personalities who may want to serve the Lord in Vatsalya Rasa as Yashoda and Nanda, as the parents of Krishna. Then, those souls who in one sense are a distant expansion of Yashoda and Nanda, they may be in the heavens. Like I described, Drona and Dharani, or Sutapa and Krishni, they were performing austerity, and that's how they became Nanda and Yashoda and Vasudeva and Devaki. So these are sort of partial expansions of those eternal associates who are located in the heavenly planets. And the Lord, because they're aspiring for pure love, the Lord wants to fulfill their desire. The eternal associates descend from the spiritual world with the Lord, and these souls lodge into the body of the eternal associate. So although they don't become Yashoda or Nanda Maharaj, but they lodge in the body. Lodge means what? Just as when we stay in a lodge, you know, we don't belong to the lodge. There's no sense of identification, but we experience what is happening in the lodge. Similarly, they experience the same emotions as Ishwara is experiencing. They experience the same reciprocation from an insider perspective, from inside the body. So, you know, the conditioned soul wants to be the enjoyer, we know. And the conditioned soul wants to enjoy the material forms. So now the male wants to enjoy the female form. What about the female? You know, Krishna has the eternal relationship with the gopis. So when the soul wants to imitate, the soul wants, he takes a male body and wants to enjoy the female body. But what about the soul who takes a female body? The female body or the soul who takes a female body also wants to enjoy the female form, but from the inside. So the principle of enjoyership is always there. The principle of wanting to imitate Krishna is always there. But when we are talking about these advanced devotees, they want to experience Vatsalya. This is a pure desire. And the Lord is so merciful that although the position of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj is eternally occupied, but if somebody wants to serve him in that rasa, the Lord accommodates that by coming to the material world and allowing those souls to experience that rasa as souls who are lodging into the body of eternal associates. And once that desire is fulfilled, then the souls turn back to the spiritual world to be in the Vatsalya rasa. So he wanted to fulfill the desire of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Now, the word Yashoda and Nanda are significant. Yashoda means Yashoda, one who gives fame. And Nanda means Nanda, one who gives happiness. So Krishna's parents are those illustrious personalities who actually were the personifications of their names. And the Maharaj was a bold of virtuous qualities. And you know, just by his association of sweetness, he would give happiness to everyone. In fact, it is described that the father of Nanda Maharaj Parjanya had 5 sons: Upananda, Abhinanda, Nanda, Sunanda, and Nandana. So, when Parjanya, although he was in one sense a Vaishya, he was actually higher than a Vaishya. He was what is called Abhira. Abhira is actually Vaishya who has a relationship with a Brahmana. So there was Devamida. Devamida was the grandfather of Nanda and Vasudeva. So Devamida had one Brahmana wife and one Kshatriya wife and one Vaishya wife. So from the Kshatriya wife of Devamida, Surasen was born. And Surasen's father, Vasudeva. From the Vaishya wife of Devamida, Parjanya was born. So now Parjanya married a Abhira. Now who is Abhira? When a Brahmana marries a Vaishya and the offspring of them again marries a Brahmana, the child from that is Abhira. So Abhira is not just a Vaishya, it's a Vaishya who has many connections with the Brahmana. And that's why the Abhiras are very respected. So Nanda Maharaj was a very cultured person. And when Parjanya, although he was a Vaishya, because he had Brahmanical connection, he decided to renounce the world and focus himself completely on devotion to God. So at that time he handed over the throne and the crown to his eldest son, Upananda. And there was a big festival held for that, just like Lord Ram's coronation is described. Dashrath wanted to hand it over the throne to Lord Ram. So big preparations were being made. So the preparations were made, Vasudev, Surasen, all the illustrious personalities are present. And Upananda accepted the crown. And then, just as the Abhishek was to be performed, Upananda took the crown and went it and placed it on the head of Nanda. And Nanda said, he was feeling fearful. He said, this is Maryada Vatikraman. How can I accept the crown when my older brother is present? So at that time, Upananda spoke some very valuable words of wisdom, which are important for every one of us who wants to live in the association of devotees and, in one sense, ultimately lead conditioned souls back to Krishna. When Krishna says, Yadad Acharati Shrestas Tattva Devetaro Jana, as great people act, ordinary people follow, so Krishna is actually telling Arjuna, you are a great person, you have to act like a great person. And through Arjuna, He's telling all the readers of the Bhagavad Gita, all the potential devotees, that it is for you to become leaders and act in an exemplary way. So Upananda says a very beautiful analysis of what is required for a leader. He says that leadership is based on affection. Who can become a leader? Not somebody who is imposed from above. I am the leader, all of you obey me. He says leadership is based on affection. Affection is based on behavior. How do you feel affectionate towards a person? Then that person behaves nicely. And behavior is based on qualities. Somebody can behave very sweetly in a formal, official way, in a showy way, but when difficulties come up, that person actually doesn't have the quality of self-restraint. That person doesn't have the quality of sensitivity. That person doesn't have the quality of tolerance. Then his ugra roop will come up. It's like Kamsa was so affectionate towards Devaki. But actually he did not have any self-control. So the next moment he was catching her hair and about to kill her. So leadership is based on affection. Affection is based on behavior. And behavior is based on quality. And he said the qualities of Nanda are such that he does not deserve to rule under me, but he deserves to rule the whole world. So although because I am older, he will not accept to be the king, I request him to be the king on my behalf. On my request, let him be the king. And everybody cheers the decision. So Jiva Goswami in the Gopal Champu compares the rule of Nanda Maharaj to the rule of Vichitravirya. You know, Shantanu had his first wife, Ganga. From her she begot Bhishma. And then he had a second wife, Satyavati, from whom we got Chitrangada and Vichitravirya. So now Bhishma was older, but still Chitrangada first, and then Vichitravirya became the king. And when Vichitravirya was the king, whenever Bhishma would tender any advice, Vichitravirya would immediately accept it. So of course, Vichitravirya, subsequent generation, Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana never accepted Bhishma's advice. But Vichitravirya would always accept. So he said, just as Vichitravirya was the king, although he would always obey Bhishma. Similarly, Nanda was the king, but whenever Upananda would give any suggestion, he would always accept it. And then Bhishma said, Nanda's qualities are so great that perhaps he can be compared to Arjuna among the Pandavas. Because although there are five Pandavas, Arjuna was the middle one, the third one. And Arjuna was the most illustrious, the most powerful. The one person who actually turned the tables, the one person who was decisive in the victory of the Pandavas over the Kauravas. You know, if you see Arjuna, whom all did he fell? You know, Bhishma, Drona, Karna. These three were the most formidable warriors. And he fell them. Of course, Madhvacharya has a different perspective. Madhvacharya says the most formidable warrior in the Kurukshetra war was Bhima. And his perspective is right because the most malevolent means hate-filled, the most malevolent of the Kauravas were Duryodhana and Dushasana, and along with them, then other 98 brothers. And these most malevolent, the people who had caused the war, they were killed by Bhima. But still, from the objective point of view, the most formidable warriors who were killed in the Kurukshetra war were by Arjuna. So he says, perhaps Nanda can be compared to Arjuna because he's so talented. But he says, no, this is an inadequate comparison. Because although Arjuna was the most illustrious, but still all of them had wonderful qualities. And Kunti's affection was divided among all of them. But he said that actually Nanda's qualities were so great that they eclipsed the qualities of everyone else. And the affection of his parents was concentrated on him. But because he was so affectionate, that his older and younger brothers felt no envy towards Nanda. So that is what actually is a speciality of Nanda Maharaj. After. So Nanda Maharaj, because of his virtuous qualities, attracted love But because he was he's so loving and gentle, nobody felt angry towards him. So by his loving deity, he was Nanda, Ananda, one who would give happiness. But it is described that when Krishna appeared in his family, one who would give happiness to everyone received happiness from Krishna. We'll discuss that later. And Yashoda was Yashoda, one who would give pain to whoever she came in contact with. Because she was such an abode of virtue that whoever came in contact with her became completely purified, elevated. In fact, later on, when Kirtidas, the mother of Radharani and the wife of Rishabhanu, she invites Nanda Maharaj and Kirtida, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda to their house for prasad. So at that time she sends a messenger and she says, Yashoda, you are so exalted that whatever sins we may have committed in our life, in this life or in previous life, you just come to our house and then by your presence we will become purified of all our sins and our life will become successful. That was Yashoda. When Krishna appeared, he actually gave Yasha to Yashoda. So what is materially glorious becomes even more glorious, because Krishna's glory is a supreme glory. Now that was the first internal reason, that he wanted to fulfill the desires of Nanda and Yashoda. The second internal reason was that he wanted to experience Shringara Ras in the material world. When Lord Ram had come to the Dandakaranya forest, at that time, the sages saw the intimate Swakya Rasa Bhav between Lord Ram and Mother Sita, and they desired to have a similar relationship. And the Lord wanted to fulfill their desire. So, therefore, the Lord appeared in this world, and there were many different kinds of gopis. There were the Rishichari gopis, those who were the rishis in the Dandakaranya forest. They appeared as gopis in the Vrindavan. And then there were the Shuddhichari gopis. Shuddhichari gopis were, if you see chapter 89 in the Krishna book, 10.89 in the 10th canto, is prayers by the personified Vedas. So, Vedic culture is entirely personal. And the Shuddhis, when they saw how wonderful are the pastimes of Krishna, they desired to participate in them. And those personified Shuddhis appeared as the Shuddhichari gopis. Then there were the Devakanyas. There were the Apsaras who were attracted to Krishna based on actually material lust. You saw Krishna is a good looking person. It says we know that when Arjuna went to the heavens, Urvashi was attracted to him. So, whenever there are references of the gopis came out of kama, one understanding of that kama is that this kama refers to the emotion felt by the Devakanya gopis. But there also is a Nityasiddha gopi. The eternal associates descended from the spiritual world. And there were also Sadhanasiddha gopis. So, the relationship between Krishna and gopis is a huge philosophical subject. And it is not at all like an ordinary boy-girl relationship, which people so foolishly mistake it to be. But the Lord wanted to experience Shringara Rasa in the material world. And to fulfill these five desires, he decided to descend in this world. Now, when the Lord decided to descend, everything became auspicious. There was the very auspicious and rare nakshatra called Rohini. And apart from this nakshatra, the remaining stars also formed themselves in a very auspicious constellation called Anshuman. And there was a very soothing breeze and pleasing atmosphere throughout the earth. And at that time, just by the presence of the Lord, all the people started experiencing the same devotional joy that is experienced normally in their hearts by devotees. This is similar to what happened at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. Because it was eclipse time. So, not only the devotees, but even the Karmakandi Brahmanas were chanting the holy name. And to make fun of them, Namla Ichhara was chanting the holy name. And in this way, all of them experienced devotional rasa. So, when the Lord appeared in this world, at that time, all the ordinary souls started experiencing the happiness that the devotees experienced, and the devotees started experiencing the supreme happiness as if they had received the ultimate mercy of the Lord, and all their desires were fulfilled. At the same time, the demons started experiencing inauspiciousness. They found that their bodies were exhibiting signs of rapid aging, and they could see signs of imminent death all around them. And when the Lord appeared in the palace of Yashoda, at that time Yashoda was fast asleep. And suddenly the Lord started crying very sweetly. But everything about the Lord is transcendental. So when the Lord would cry, his crying was as sweet as the melodious recitation of the Mahavakya Omkar by the trained Brahmanas. And that, just as the Omkar is chanted at the start of a yajna, similarly the Lord's crying indicated the start of a yajna. The yajna in which all the demons would be offered as ahuti and would be freed from the earth. And then, as the Lord's crying was heard, all the elderly ladies who had been there to assist Yashoda in the pregnancy, they immediately came. And they saw that such a captivatingly beautiful child was there. They were overwhelmed. Hearing the crying of the baby, Yashoda woke up. And she looked over, and the baby was there by her side. She looked at him. The child was so beautiful. She was completely captivated. She saw that her whole body was bluish black. It seemed to be like her, like a first like a bluish black lotus, and then he had reddish lips which were like bimba fruit. And then she saw that he had his arms and legs which were like lotuses, and his nails were like manika flowers. So she saw this whole baby was just like made of flowers. And the next moment she looked again, and she saw that whole baby, it seemed to be made of jewels. He seemed to be made of jewels. His whole body was like a sapphire. A sapphire is a bluish jewel. And then his lips and his nails appeared to be like rubies. Rubies are reddish in color. And then the nails appeared to be like a variety of gems. She thought, who is this child? This cannot be my child. He's an extraordinary child. And then, as she bent forward to pick him up, her own shadow fell on Krishna. And when she saw the shadow falling on Krishna, she thought, in her great anxiety and love for Krishna, that this is some witch who has come to attack Krishna. She started calling, go away, go away, Narsiha, Narsiha. She started calling out. So she was calling out the Lord Narsiha to protect that personality who is the source of Narsiha. So this is the beauty and the sweetness of Krishna Lila. And then the elderly ladies told her, actually there was Upananda's wife. She was like the grand old lady. Not the oldest lady, the oldest lady in Vrindavan is Purnamasi. But in their family, the grand old lady was Upananda's wife. So Upananda said, your baby, pick him up and feed him your breast milk, caress him. Took him up and caressed him. And when she touched her Krishna's body, the Lord's body was so gentle that she felt as if just by touching by her finger, she would create scratches on that body. Very gently picked up the form of the Lord, put him on her lap, and then started offering her breast milk. So the love that was overflowing, that was filling and overflowing the heart of Yashoda, now poured out of her breast as the milk. And Krishna, being a small baby, you know, acted like a perfectly small baby. When the first time the child is offered the mother's breast, he takes it but doesn't know how to drink the milk. He knows and sometimes he doesn't know. It depends on the super soul. So the milk started spilling all over, and as the milk spread all over her, as Krishna's face, and Mother Yashoda with her cloth was wiping it, and then Krishna started drinking the milk. And Yashoda felt the supreme joy. And as she was beholding the form of her Lord, of her child, who was of course her Lord, at that time she saw that there was a white mark on her right side of the chest. And she thought it was some of the milk had spilled away. And she started removing with the cloth. And when she saw, she couldn't remove it at all. Then she looked, there's a wavy, curly line of hair, the white hair, which is the Shrivatsa. She thought this must be the form of the mark of the Mahapurusha. This child is probably a Mahapurusha. And then she looked on the left side of the chest, and there was a yellow golden line. That is the line of Lakshmi Devi. So there is the Lord's chest, there is both. Laksho Viharini, she is on the both sides. The right she is at the Srivatsa, and the right left she is at the golden mark. So Srivatsa is white, the golden mark, the line of the skin. It is not a hair, it's line of skin, that is golden. And she was completely overwhelmed to see the beauty of her baby, and she started suckling, offering him the milk, and he was suckling the milk. And then the elder lady sent a messenger to Nanda Maharaj. So there was an old Brahmani lady who was sent as a messenger. And she told, "Oh Nanda, supreme auspiciousness has descended in your life. You have begotten us." Now for a long time, Nanda Maharaj had been aspiring to have a son. But somehow, the Lord does not fulfill our desire for that which is supremely valuable very easily. Because only when that is got after a struggle, we tend to value it. So the Lord has given us Krishna consciousness, but the Lord does not give us a taste for Krishna consciousness easily. You know, if He gave us that taste very easily, we would take it very cheap. So, when the Maharaj said, Vasudeva and Devaki, they did not get Krishna very easily. They had to go through 7 deaths of their children. When Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they performed immense austerities before they got the Lord as their child. And Nanda Maharaj's heart, because he did not have a child, had become like a shallow lake which had been completely dried up in the ocean in the summer. But when he heard the news that he had got a child, at that time his heart became like a lake which is suddenly filled not by a rapid and heavy downpour of water, but a rapid and heavy downpour of nectar. He felt himself completely overwhelmed, flooded by bliss. He felt as if he was swimming in the ocean of nectar. He felt he was as if he was embraced by the celestial Ganges on all sides. He started giving profuse charity. He gave abundant charity to the Brahmana. Brahmani lady had been the messenger. And he ran to the palace where Yashoda was. And when he went there and he saw the child, and saw the extraordinary beauty of Krishna, he completely froze. His hair stood on end. His eyes became wide. The only motion in his body was the tears that were flowing down his eyes constantly. He became like an image carved in stone or a painting made on a canvas. He seemed for some time as if he were a person who was just about to awaken from deep sleep, motionless but awake. And then Upananda's wife called up, "Will you not pick up your child?" And then Yashoda offered the child, and he embraced him. And he embraced him. He felt the supreme joy. It's like he felt as if the innermost desires of his heart had been fulfilled. And at that time, Nanda Maharaj started giving charity. And he gave such profuse charity that actually Nanda Maharaj, he said, he put the Kamadhenu cows, he put the Kalpavruksha trees, and he put the Chintamani jewels, all 3 to shame. Why? Because the Kamadhenu cows or the Chintamani jewels or the Kalpavruksha trees, they give what we want only when we desire it, only when we ask it. The Kalpavruksha tree, you have to go and ask, please give me this, and then they will give. Now it's interesting that all of the Kalpavruksha trees give whatever we want. Actually, I have not seen a single pastime of Krishna and Gopis and Gopas where any of the Gopis and Gopas are asking anything from the Kalpavruksha tree. When the Gopis want to feed Krishna, they don't ask the Kalpavruksha tree, "Give us Rasgulla so that we can feed Krishna." They personally cook Rasgulla. It is described that Radharani is actually simultaneously cooking on 100 stoves. rushing, rushing. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, rushing. Why? Because she wants to taste the joy of service. The Kalpavruksha trees are ready to serve the Lord, but the devotees also want to serve the Lord. So the Kalpavruksha trees take away their service and they will have no service. So the Kalpavruksha trees are there, but actually the devotees personally exert to serve the Lord. So all these they give when one is asked. But Nanda Maharaj gave charity without asking. And he gave so much charity. But it appeared as if his treasury was overflowing constantly. I would never get exhausted. He kept doing charity and charity and charity. And then gradually Krishna started growing. When Krishna started growing, at that time as he started walking, initially when Krishna started walking, so Mother Yashoda put, what do you call pile in English? Ankle bells. So she put ankle bells in her leg, nupus. And then Krishna would walk and the ankle bells would jingle. And the ankle bells would jingle, Krishna would look around, where is the sound coming from? And there is somebody there, and nobody would seem to be there. And then you would walk again, and again the ankle bell would jingle. And again, where is the sound coming from? You look around, and then you would think, maybe somebody is there, somebody is hiding, somebody wants to attack me. Become very fearful. And then again you would walk, and again the sound would come, and now you become really frightened. Who is there? Somebody is going to attack me, and you would just run, and you run back to Mother Yashoda and hide in her sari. And as you would run, the ankle bell would sound louder, and you would become even more frightened. And Yashoda Bai, you know, Hiri and all the others would watch and they would just laugh and laugh with joy. And then as he would go, oh, Upananda's wife, she would come and ask, Krishna, show me your teeth. And then Krishna, he had just learned to talk and he would become blush. He would blush and become shamefaced. And he would say, my teeth have not come till now. And this way, Krishna flooded the whole of Gokul with joy, as described in the Damodarachakam, Namamishwaram Prachitananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Vrajamanam. Actually, it was illuminating and flooding, illuminating Gokul and flooding Gokul with bliss. So that Supreme Lord, who is the Super Soul, the source of all knowledge for everyone, Vedaish Sarvai Rahameva Sarvasta Chaham Rasanivishto Vattahasmitir Jnana Mapohanam. That Lord who is the source of all knowledge for everyone plays a leela where he pretends that I don't know where the sound of the ankle bells is coming from. Why does he do that? Just so that he can enhance the rasa that his devotees experience, and in reciprocation he experiences. So Kavi Kavya Napo describes, the eternal form of the Lord in the spiritual world is the Kaishora form. And as the Lord grew up, he gradually manifested first his Kaumara form, then his Pauganda form, then his Kaishora form. So, the Kaumara form, Kaumara is before 5 years of age. The Kaumara form is the Vatsalya Rasa Vigraha. It's the best suited for Vatsalya Rasa. The Pauganda form from 5 to 10 years, that is best suited for Sakya Rasa. And then the Kaishora form is suited for Madhurya Rasa. But he says that even when the Lord attained Kaishora, actually all the forms of the Lord reside dormantly in his heart. And therefore, although to the cowherd maidens, to the young gopis, he appeared as Kaishora, to his parents, he still appeared like a Kaumara. Because all the forms are residing within him. And the Lord manifests whichever form is required according to the particular rasa that is reciprocated. So therefore, the Lord would manifest the Kaumara form to Yashoda and Nandamara. That's why even when Krishna grew up, they could eternally relish Vatsalya Rasa. And similarly, the Gopas, they would relish Sakya Rasa. So this is Rasa Raj. This is the Lord who is the Rasa Shiromani. You know, he is actually the ultimate bestower of mellows and the relisher of mellows. In this material world, we are all struggling for happiness. The Lord Krishna, while instructing Uddhava, he says, what a paradox there is in this material world. that the actual happiness in this world is shudra sukha. It's temporary happiness. Actually, there are three possibilities. When we try to enjoy material life, sometimes there is happiness, but that happiness is so meager that it is disappointing. And sometimes there is no happiness, so it's just a hoax. And sometimes, instead of happiness, there is suffering because of that. Of course, every time there is suffering, but sometimes the suffering is immediately visible. But he said, there is actually, even if we agree that there is happiness, the happiness is so shudra, so insignificant. But although there is shudra sukha, there is uru darsham. Uru means very great. Darsham means Krishna. Shudra sukha and uru darsham. And although the pleasure is so insignificant, the craving, the hankering of the conditioned soul is so enormous. But although the happiness in the spiritual world is so great, Mahananda, but our desire for this is so tiny. But by hearing these wonderful pastimes of the Lord stimulates our spiritual desires. And as the desire becomes stronger and stronger, the Lord reveals these pastimes more and more in our hearts. And we become more and more attracted to the Lord. So we can pray to the Lord that, my dear Lord, a fraction of the intensity of the desire that I have for sense gratification, let me get at least a fraction of that desire for you. Let that desire be redirected from Maya to Krishna. Je vishaye je priti de achaye amara te mat priti hau charane tomara. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, my dear Lord, the attraction that I have towards the sense objects, same as the priti hope, let my attraction to you, let the same attraction become manifest towards you, then our life will become successful. So I summarize, I described about the appearance of the Lord, the three external reasons and the two internal reasons. The external reasons was to remove the afflictions of Mother Earth, to attract the impersonal self-satisfied sages, and to reveal pastimes which would sustain, which would give relishing for the devotees, and which would attract the conditioned souls. And the internal reasons were that he wanted to fulfill the desire of Yashoda and Maharaj, and he wanted to relish Shringarara in this material world. And in the between, I discussed about the virtuous quality of Nanda Maharaj, and we discussed about the event of Krishna's birth, the responses of his beloved parents Yashoda and Maharaj, and some of the childhood pastimes of Krishna. We concluded by, there is so much happiness in being attracted to Krishna, but unfortunately our desire is tiny. In the material world, there is so little happiness, but our desire is so great. We can say to the Lord that let our desires be redirected from Maya to Him. Krishna Bhagavan ki Srimad Bhagavatam ki Chatupadi ki Gaur Bhaktarinati Charita Gaur Premanande Sri Hari. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.